Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Remember the book, The Dorito Effect? The author of that great book has a new book called The End of Craving. Mark Schatzker joins us now to talk about what he's discovered researching what we eat, why we eat, and why we're fat. Good morning, Mark. Mark, this is fascinating because you answer some interesting questions. For example, Northern Italians eat what they want. They may be eating the world's most delicious cuisine, and yet everybody's skinny. How come? And it really has to do with processed foods and our brains, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And Northern Italians do not eat a Mediterranean diet. They eat carbs and fat, pasta, lasagna, ragu alla bolognese. So they're eating the stuff we've been waging war against, and the rate of obesity is 8%. Ours is 42%. It's astonishing. And this all has to do with our fundamental misunderstanding of how our brain perceives food.
Yeah, talk about this, because basically the advancements in food technology have gotten our brains to just crave great amounts of food. Why?
Exactly. That's what we see when we look at brain scans of people with obesity. They don't enjoy food more. They want it more. And what we've done to food is we've, for so many decades, we've regarded our appetite as being forged in the Stone Age, a kind of this hungry ogre that has no idea what's good for it and just wants calories. So we've come up with all sorts of technologies, things like artificial sweeteners, things like fat replacers, that make food taste like something that it's not. So we think this brain is stupid. Let's give it food that tastes rich and tastes sweet, tastes like it's got lots of calories, but really it's not getting calories. Well, if your brain really was stupid, this would be a good idea. Let's fool that stupid brain. But it turns out the brain is incredibly smart. It measures the food as it comes in. That's taste. You know, we think it tastes good, but your brain's going, how many calories am I getting? But then it does kind of post-game analysis, and it says, what did I get? And for the first time in our existence, sensations like sweetness and fattiness they aren't reliable. The brain thinks it's getting something, and it doesn't get what it wanted. And this causes uncertainty, what psychologists call reward prediction error. And this ramps up the motivation to eat because the brain doesn't like getting ripped off.
Are companies well aware of this and coming up with foods designed to fool our brains?
Well, I think the problem is they don't realize how dynamic and intelligent the brain is. So they're under lots of pressure. Everyone's concerned about calories. We put the nutritional info panel on the back of packaging. People are looking at calories. So companies are doing everything they can to bring that number down because we generally think calories are the enemy. So some of this is to some degree well-intended. That said, a lot of these additives, they appear in the ingredient panel. You can't really tell they're there. So I'll give you an example. There's an additive called Cream Fiber 7000. This is designed for muffins as a fat replacer to make muffins taste, you know, richer and more fulfilling than they actually are. If you look in the ingredient panel, you don't see Cream Fiber 7000. You see citrus fiber. So it can be very difficult as a consumer to actually know what you're really putting in your body.
It's fascinating because we think that when we see on a label vitamin-fortified food, for example, low fat, that is good for our diet. But it's not, is it?
No, it's not. And here's the thing. We did not evolve to be nutritionists. We get into arguments about protein and keto and carbs. We have no clue what we're talking about. The physiologists who spend our lives studying this cannot predict exactly how the body utilizes nutrients. What we evolved to do was eat real food, and the pleasure of eating real food tells our brains and our bodies something important about it. So you look at the Northern Italians, they don't argue about nutrients, they argue about what's the best recipe. It seems kind of hilarious and steeped in like a peasant tradition, but look at how much they enjoy food, and look at how great their relationship is with it. They eat wonderful food, and they're trim. I think we have a lot to learn from them.
Yeah, and also, as you point out, we spend less time eating than residents of other countries. We're always in a hurry, and the portion sizes are humongous.
Yes, and I think this is because we have a craving for calories. We've whipped up this desire in our brain to consume calories. That's why portion sizes are rising, because that's what we want. You know, people say Italians don't snack as much, they have smaller portion sizes. This isn't because of some governmental decree. It's because that's what they want. They don't really want to stuff their faces. If you look at like an ice cream cone here, there's three scoops. If you go to Italy, there's just this one small scoop of absolutely incredibly delicious gelato. So I think it's really, in some ways, a question of quantity versus quality.
And as you write in the book, we consume foods that are designed to fool the brain into believing it has received nutrition. When it hasn't, then we consume more of them. So if you had to give somebody who is dieting one bit of advice that covers a lot of this, what would it be?
Well, I'll say two. I would say stop buying foods that are designed to fool the brain because they're not working. So when you see things like diet and low fat and sugar free, eat real food. But the most important thing, engage in the pleasure of eating. Food is designed, we are designed to enjoy food. The pleasure of eating is one of the great gifts we have. So instead of fearing food and being alienated by it, let's make every meal an opportunity to love food.
The book is The End of Craving, Recovering the Lost Wisdom of Eating Well. It's Mark Schatzker. And Mark, it's fascinating to understand what's going on with our brain that affects our stomach.
It really is. It completely changes. You know, everything you thought you knew about food is kind of overturned when you see how it actually works. The amount of calculation and computation your brain does is just stunning.
And by the way, I love the Dorito effect too. That explained why I can't stop eating potato chips.
Exactly. Yes. No. And I actually spent some time in a lab in Germany with a woman who explores the different pleasure circuits in the brain, and she got me in this loop of craving potato chips, and it can be absolutely crushing. Just this storm of desire, and we get into that when we start eating foods like this, and that is by design.
Yeah, a lot of that is about the craving for crunchy stuff, isn't it?
It's crunchy, and it's also, if you think about potato chips, they taste like what they are. You know, sour cream and onion, for example. all these flavors, they weren't designed to exist in this manner. The nutrition you get from a potato chips is just fat, carbs, and salt. But we imbue it with flavors that's telling your brain it's getting a whole variety of nutrients that it's actually not getting. Now, if you think your brain is stupid, okay, that's fine. But what if your brain isn't stupid? What if it's getting confused? How is it reacting? And I think this explains so much of why we're just drawn to eat foods in excess of our physiological need.
Yeah, and I love the label on the potato chip bag, four servings. Yeah, right.
Mark, for like a mouse.
Mark Schatzker, The End of Craving. Fascinating. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the time this morning.
Thanks for having me. Great chatting.